He offered a Savior, you offer Him a sinner. Someone said the problem is it's just hard to find a sinner nowadays. I mean, He done His offering. When you offer Him a sinner, what is that? That's repentance. That's realizing I'm wrong and I need Him. Thank God He'll take the offer. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Good to see you here in the meeting place tonight. Pray that you've had a good week. If not, I pray you just start a little bit better tonight. They said to remember the Millers. Mr. Miller did go to the doctor today, and they was just now getting out. You pray for him and his pancreas. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Well, let's just back up and read. Let's start in verse 8. We've been dealing with Abraham and the faith of Abraham. And we've dealt with it in two ways. We'll deal with it in the third way tonight, and maybe, if the Lord willing, move on to the next character in the book of Hebrews. But we've been looking at the test that Abraham faced. The Bible said in verse 8, what's the first word? By faith. Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Thank God, God is faithful. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He had prepared for them a city. Verse 17, where we'll start our study tonight. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let us pray. Brother Terry Brooks, would you pray for the blessing tonight on the word, brother? Yes, Lord. God help. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Tonight in verses 17 through 19, we'll look at the test that Abraham faced on this subject tonight, the test of willingness. The test of willingness. Early on in the passage of Scripture dealing with Abraham, we see that Abraham had a test of worldliness. When he came out from that strange land and headed towards that promised land that God had given him, Then the last time we studied on Abraham, we saw the test of weakness, where him and his wife were both past age, and God came through with strength that they could deliver child. Now I want to look at the test of willingness. Now Abraham has been tested in errors of mental reasoning. You could associate what his test of worldliness to the mental reasoning. Hey, God said, go to a land, look at this land, look at where I'm going to take you, to a heavenly. And so in your mind, you reason that thing. So he's been a test of mental reasoning. Sometimes it's a mental thing. Sometimes you think about it and you deal with it in your mind and you say, hey, what's right, what's wrong? I believe I'll go this way and not that way. He overcame the mental test. Then we saw the physical test, which he was physically weak, him and his wife. And God delivered a child through their physical infirmities. So there's the test of mental reasoning. Then there's the test of weakness. Now comes the test of the heart and the soul. This is where you deal with the willingness of someone. How is your heart and soul? Are you willing to follow God? Are you willing to give it all to God no matter what it is in your life? Now the word willingness is in the scripture, 54 verses. You can do a little study on it yourself if you'd like, but there's 9 verses out of the 54 that are connected inside the verse where the word heart is mentioned with willingness. That's where the word heart is mentioned, but if you'd study the word willingness, there's a lot of it that has to do with the heart, whether the heart's being mentioned particularly or not, it still has to do something with, are you willing in your heart? Let me give you a few things by way of introduction about willingness. Number one, you need to realize when it comes to willingness, when it comes to us being willing to give it all to God, your flesh is always going to be willing. Look at Matthew chapter number 26. When it comes to willingness, your flesh is weak. The willingness of Abraham here, or we're talking about the willingness of a believer. We're not talking about his physical strength. We're not talking about his mental capacity. We're talking about the heart and soul. We're talking about something that gets down deep inside your being. And what we need to realize when it comes to being willing to serve God, don't count flesh to pick you up to go do it. The flesh will fail you, amen. He'll say, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. No, you ought to say, if God will do this or that, amen. Hey, the flesh cannot do it, amen. If you're trusting in your flesh to follow God when it comes to the test of willingness, your flesh will give out. It'll wear out. It'll overcome too much and say, I can't take anymore. Hey, take it off of me. Hey, I'm not talking about a willing flesh. I'm talking about a willing heart and a willing soul, amen. Are you willing to give it all to God when the flesh still can't go? The flesh is weak when it comes to willingness. Matthew 26, look in verse 41. Jesus speaking here to his disciples, he says, watch and pray. And if you're going to be willing, you better be on the watch and you better be doing some praying. Watch and pray. Look what he says. Here's the warning. That you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is what? The spirit's willing. Hey, something inside you say, hey, let's go for God, man. Whatever. I'm happy, man. I'm ready. Hey, Brother James said the other day, he stood up and said, hey, I'm in my spirit. I'm willing to go wherever. If I got to leave whoever I got to leave, I'm willing to go. Hey, but you know what? This flesh is not willing. This flesh is weak, amen. And the arm of flesh shall fail you, whether it be someone else or whether it be your own, amen. Hey, put no confidence in the flesh. When it comes to willingness, don't trust your flesh to do the will of God. You got to trust the spirit. The flesh is weak when it comes to willingness. Number two, if you're not careful, when it comes to being willing, it could just be for a season. Look in John chapter 5. I put them in order here. John chapter 5. We're talking about willingness. The flesh is weak when it comes to willingness. And sometimes, sad to say, we're only willing for a season. Jesus said it here again, John chapter number 5. Look in verses number 35. He was a burning and a shining light. You see that? He says, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. For a season you were willing. Now, when it comes to our lives, there are seasons within our lives. And things do go through seasons in our lives. Hey, but when it comes to willingness, we do not just be willing to follow God just seasonally. Amen. We don't just need to follow God if you're willing to use in the summertime or the wintertime or the fall time. Amen. Hey, you need to be willing to give God all your life for every minute of the time. Amen. Don't let it just be a seasonal thing. Amen. A lot of Christians are just seasonal Christians. Amen. Hey, God, you can have my life for a little while, but sooner or later, I got to take it back. sooner or later, I got to do something else. Amen. When it comes to the service of God and giving your heart and soul, hey, be willing for the long haul, just not for a season. Amen. Amen. Some people are just willing for seasons. That's where you see them coming to church. They ain't here for a couple of years or whatever, and then they're gone. Their season's gone. Christianity is not a seasonal thing. Amen. It is a life thing. Amen. And when it comes to you being willing to follow God, we need to be willing to give God all our lives, not just part of it. Our season and our willingness should not be seasoning. Look in 1 Corinthians 9, number 3. We're talking about willingness. We need to remember when it comes to being willing to follow God in heart and soul, the flesh is weak. It will fail us. It will let us down. Amen. Whether it be ours or someone else's. Amen. And we need to be reminded that we should just be seasoned. Our willingness. Don't just run for God for a little while and then throw it all away. It's sad when Christians are seasonal and they're in for a while and then they're out for a while and in for a while and out for a while. Sometimes there is struggles in your Christian life like that, but that should not be a habit. It should not take up the characteristic of your life. That's all you ever are. Amen. There'll be times as a child of God, you might fail. There'll be times you do put confidence in the flesh instead of in the soul and in the spirit and in the things of God. And you mess up and get out of the will of God. Amen. And God, thank God if you get back right with God. Hey, but don't take down that mentality of a seasonal Christian. That's just all I'm ever going to be and that's all you're going to get out of me. Amen. Hey, did you come a time in our life say, God, you got all my life, whatever you want, here it is. I'm into Jesus comes by the grace of God. Amen. Don't be seasonal. Amen. And some Christians, they a long time, throw in the towel at the end. What a sad thing. Don't be seasonal. Can I say number 3? That being willing brings rewards. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look in verse 16. It brings rewards. God rewards a willing servant. Amen. He said in verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, he said, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. He said, it ain't nothing glorying in it, Paul saying about his ministry, about his calling of God. He said, there's a necessity laid on me, and woe if I don't do it. Amen. I've gave my life to God. I'm willing to do whatever he wants, and woe is me if I do not do that. Amen. Verse 17, he says, for if I do this thing willingly. God laid it on the Apostle Paul's heart to be a man of God and be a preacher of the gospel and go proclaim the truths around the world. And he said, hey, this woe is me if I don't do what God's called me to do. Hey, in your calling of God, amen, hey, be willing to say, God, you got all me and it's woe to me if I don't do it, amen. But it's yea to me if I do do it. He said in verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What a sad thing to go against the will of God and do your own thing and throw your Christian life away. Hey, willingness is what God wants out of us. Hey, Abraham is being put to the test of willingness, we'll see, and God's going to put me and you to the test of willingness. Just like he's put us to the test of worldliness and in the test of weakness, you'll be tested willingly in what you're going to do when God calls your hand on a certain thing. Amen. Oh, we're going to be willing. We need to remember some things before we make the comment and say, yeah, I'm willing, God, whatever you want. Amen. Remember, the flesh is weak. Amen. Remember, there is something inside of you. Hey, yeah, I'll go. I'm gung-ho. Yeah, be gung-ho. Thank God for that. God rewards that kind of stuff. Amen. Hey, but don't let it be seasonal. Don't just jump in and throw in the towel and give up on it. And don't put no confidence in your flesh because it'll fail you. Or anyone else's, I'll say again. Can I say number 4 when it comes to willingness? When it comes to being willing to do something for God, go beyond your power. Now, it kind of seems like maybe a contradiction at first. You say, hey, don't put any confidence in your flesh when it comes to doing anything. And then to say it the same thing, go beyond your power. What does it mean to go beyond your power? That means don't look at what you got. Look at what God can do. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Willing. Are we willing? God will test us on our willingness. There is not a reason for a child of God to kind of look around and say, well, I ain't got nothing to do. I can't do nothing. Yes, you can. If you're not doing anything, it's because you're not willing to do something. Amen. There's a lot of things a child of God could do inside the church house, a branch outside of the church, out in the world. There's things to do. There's a lot to do for God. Amen. No child of God can say, hey, I ain't got nothing to do. I'm just bored to death. Hey, if you're bored to death with Christian life, it's telling me you're not involved in what's going on. Because there's plenty to do in God's business. Amen. Amen. Plenty to do, amen. Hey, just say, if you don't know what to do, come see your pastor. Go see your Sunday school teacher. Go see an elder in the church and say, hey, can you instruct me and give me something to do for God? I'm kind of out of wits end and don't know which direction to go. They'll put something in your hand and put something in your life and give you a reason to go for God. You don't have to sit around and live a boring lie. I'm just trying to pass the time around, time away. What are you passing it away? Why are you so bored? There's so much to do. Amen. So much to do. Go beyond your power. You say, well, I can't do it. I know you can't. God just wants to know if you're willing. Because if you're willing, God can do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look in verse number 2. He's speaking here. Look in verse 1. Moreover, brother, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. What's God going to do? He's going to put grace on you. There's grace for it all. How that? Look at this. Look at this now. Look at it. How that in a great trial of affliction. And they got a lot of reason not to go. They have been afflicted. Great trial of affliction. Trial. Remember that word, amen. Trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. What in the world is joy? Where does joy find its place in affliction and poverty? Seems like that word been misplaced in there. Maybe that shouldn't have been in the King James Bible. No, you better believe it should have been in the King James Bible. Hey, what's that telling us, amen, that through our afflictions and our poverty, we can still have joy? He said, how that in a great trial, that ain't not just a regular trial, a great trial of affliction. And this is a great thing going on in their lives. They're being afflicted, and they have the abundance of their joy. The great trial produce abundance of joy. Hey, the harder we're pressed, the more we are to rejoice. Amen, that's what it says. And their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at this, verse 3. To their power, our record, yea, here it is. And beyond their power, they were what? Willing of themselves. When it comes to willingness, we go beyond our power. Go beyond what you can do and tap into what God can do. That's where when you get out there to do the will of God in your life, if you put any confidence in this flesh, you're going to fall right on your face. Amen. If you just go for a season, you've not run the race and finished the course that God's laid before you. Amen. God's laid a race before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. John Paul said himself, I've finished my course. I've kept the what? Faith. Hey, he kept the faith. The faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in the calling of God on his life. And he pressed on with it, amen. He didn't just go seasonally and say, I've done enough over here and I just give it up. No, he pressed on till his head was taken off, amen. He went on, not in the confidence of his flesh, not glorying in what he can do. But here's the willingness. It's going beyond your power. You got to tap into another source. If you're going to do something for God, it's going to take some prayer and intercession and giving of thanks and getting in the Word of God and getting the touch of God on your life. You got to go beyond your power because you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it in your power. That's what the Bible's trying to teach us about willingness. Hey, the flesh is weak, but the spirit indeed is willing. Amen. Hey, don't just be seasonal in it. Don't just run for a while and give it up. Hey, press on to Jesus comes with the calling of God on your life. Stay willing. Whatever you want, God, I'm ready. You can have it. It's yours. It brings rewards. It goes beyond your power. Look in verse 12. God, here, listen to me. When it comes to being willing, when it comes to the calling of God and the willingness, listen. Only thing God has ever asked of any of us or ever will ask of any of us is what we have. Why would he ask you of something you don't even have? Look in verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, look at this, it is accepted according to that hath and not according to that he hath not. When it comes to willingness, the only thing God wants is what you got. God's never asked you for any more. God's never asked me for any more. God just wants to know if I give him what I got. Amen. You know what that does? That takes away all excuses when it comes to being willing. Because one of the first things the flesh likes to do when it comes to willingness is say, well, I can't do that. Moses, go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I can't talk good. Just excuse after excuse. That's the way we are. But God said, hey, I've only asked you to do what you can. If all you can do is stutter, go stutter to Pharaoh for me. Amen. If all you can do is just what you can do, that's all he ever wanted. Amen. God don't want any more than what you got. Quit throwing excuses to God and just say, God, you got me. Whatever you want, I'm in. Abraham's being tested with his willingness. Hey, Abraham, are you willing? Look back to Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's look at this test of willingness. Remember, when it comes to willingness, the flesh is weak. Remember that it needs to be longer than just a season. Remember that God will reward your willingness. Amen. He'll not only reward it now, he'll reward it later. There's rewards in serving God. And when it comes to being willing, go beyond your power and touch into God's power and give God what you have. You know what's amazing to me? When we really sit back, and when I really sit back and think about, like the brother said, think about where you were when God saved you. Think about where you are now. You know what I think? It's amazing to me that God would take me. It's like the preacher said, he provided the Savior. All he wants you to do is provide the sinner. I provided the sinner. You know what he said? I'll take that. I think I got the good end of the deal. Amen. What did God get? God got a hell-bound sinner, amen. Thank God he made something out of him, amen. But hey, he just wanted what I have. And when I gave him what I have, he saved my soul. And the same thing with service and serving God and in the ministry. If you give God what you got, he'll make something out of it. When you gave him your hell-bound soul, he made you a saint of God, a child of God. He made something good at it. And if you give God your service and say, here's what I got, God, if you want it, you take it. Hey, there's no telling what God can make out of you. Who'd ever thought what we are now could be what we are now when what we used to be? Amen. He takes what you got and makes more out of it, don't he? Amen. Paul was a persecutor of Christians, an old killer over there, an old Pharisee, old religious nobody, thinking he was somebody, amen. And God made a great missionary and a great apostle out of him to win many people to God. Why? Because he gave God what he had. And God took it, amen. There's no telling what God would do with your life if you just give it to him. I'm talking to people that are saved, amen, that are born again and say, hey, God, here's my life. I've got many excuses, and I can tell you all kinds of reasons why you ought not to and why I can't do it. But if you want this, it's yours. I'll lay it on the altar, and you do what you want to do with it. I guarantee you he'll do something great with it if you're serious. If you're just willing. Who's willing tonight? Look at Abraham. Turn back with me to Hebrews 11. The test of willingness. Number one, I see the trying of the test. The trying of the test. Verse 17, by faith. It's amazing in the context of just dealing with Abraham. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham. Amen. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah. Amen. And now again, he says in verse 17, by faith Abraham. Abraham was just a man of faith. Amen. Look what he did. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Here's the trying of the test of willingness. God will try you. When it comes to the test of willingness, God will try us. What do you mean try us? Someone said, no man has ever been tried until he has been tried on what he loves. Abraham's test of willingness was tried on what he loved. Hey, take thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. Here's the trial of Abraham. God said, I'm trying you with what you love. I want to know if I can have it. I want to know if that's took the place of me and it's more important to you than I am. God will try you when it comes to willingness, and he'll show us where our heart is. He'll take it out and put it before us and say, there it is. What you going to do with it, amen? He'll try you, amen. Our faith will be tried. My faith, anybody's faith will be tried. God will try your faith, and you're going to have to do something with the trying of your life. It might have already taken place. It might take place again. It might have never taken place yet, but it will be tried. God will try your faith, and he's going to see what you're made of. Hey, when God tries you in the test of willingness, let me remind you, your flesh can't do it. Just think about it. Don't just run for a little while and then back up and run away. Go beyond your power. Tap into God and trust God and watch him do something with your life. He's trying you. How will he try you? Numerous ways. It'd be too much to try to explain to many amount of ways, make you, because if I did, you might put your mind just on that way, and if he don't try you that way, I missed it. Hey, God will try you. He will call your number. He will allow things to happen in your life, circumstances to arise, things to bust, things to tear up, things to go down, things to put you back in the corner. God will try you and say, hey, you really love me? You really say you're going to serve me? You really want to go up for me? God will try your faith. He said to Abraham, by faith, when he was tried. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold your place in Hebrews 11. 1 Peter, right after the book of James. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. No man has ever been tried until he has been tried on what he loves. Has God tried you on what you love? Our faith to be tried. 1 Peter chapter 1, look in verses number 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. Thank God we are. Amen. Unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Their salvation, the eternal security of a believer until God reveals it in his time. At the end. There it is, the whole nine yards. Look in verse 6. Wherein you greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. He says, now he leaves the security and salvation of a believer, how we're kept by God. You need to get that settled in your life if you're going to serve God willingly, that you are a child of God. And you rejoice greatly in that. Now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. There's a season of heaviness. There's a season of trying. Heaviness through manifold temptation. When I think about a manifold, some of you might not relate to it, but I think about an engine. I think about a car. And I think about a manifold. That's what's hooked up to the head. When the exhaust goes out of your car, there's a manifold. And in that manifold, there's several holes. That manifold could be a header, or it could be just a regular cast iron manifold that comes out of the head in different valves, different ways, different outlets. And it's manifold, not just one. There's more than one. Amen. And more outlets. Amen. Manifold temptation. It's just like it's continued breaking down on you. Amen. Hey, what's that doing? That manifold temptation, that heaviness for a season is trying our luck. God will put you through the heat, put you through the trial, and put you out. Sometimes everywhere you can look is coming. Yeah. Ever found like that as a child of God? I'm saved by the grace of God, but it's just manifoldly coming out. It's just not coming out in one spot. It's coming out everywhere. And you think, whoa, what in the world? Manifold temptation. What is that? That is the trying of God in your life. He's putting that manifold temptation. He's putting that heat in your life to try to try you to see if you're surely all willing. Verse number 7. That the trial of your faith. The trial of the faith in the context is here is through the temptations. Heaviness. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. God's your faith is more precious than gold. It's not a material thing. It's more valuable than something that's material, because material things will go away. He said, will it be tried with fire, might be found, here's what God's goal is, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. He left verse 5 telling you that salvation was kept by the power of God. It's through the work of God. And then after all that settled, he said, God's going to put you through manifold temptations. He's going to try your faith that it might be bring forth more precious than gold. That it might be precious, he said. That it might be honoring. That it might be glorious. That it might bring praise to God and his appearing. God's working on you to try to make you glory to him. Now look at verse 8. Whom having not seen ye love. In whom though now you see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Hey, what's God doing? God is trying you. that the trial of your faith, God is trying you through the manifold temptations to bring forth glory out of your life. You know what the first thing we want to do when the manifold temptations comes? Grumble and complain. God, why? Why am I having to go through that? And all God's doing is just putting it there to try to bring glory and honor out of you. He's putting the heat on you to bring something out to glory and honor to Him. When God came to Abraham and tested him with Isaac, amen, with that thing he loved, he wouldn't know if he was willing. He was trying to make Abraham better than what he already was. God's goal is to make us better than what we are, amen. Hey, God will try you on what you love. Someone said a man is what he loves and fears. What do you love? What do you fear? If that is so, then what are we? What do I love and what do I fear? That's what makes me what I am. So what are we? Are we much for God? Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What's coming out of your heart? What are you? What do you love? Amen. Hey, what do you fear? That's what we are. Look back in Hebrews 11. Here's Abraham's trying. Abraham is trying. God is trying Abraham. This is his test of willingness. Abraham, I'm glad you came out of that old Chaldees. I'm glad you headed to that city down there. That's what he did. By faith, he done it. By faith, God said, I'm going to give you a promise seed. He kind of messed up down the low road, but God brought it forth through his weakness and brought forth victory out of it. You think, boy, he's done left Ur of the Chaldees. I ain't in the world no more. I've overcome some weak things in my life. I got victory over some things. And now God still wants more? Yes, he wants more. Why does God want more? Because he wants more out of you, amen. He wants to give us more. We turn around like, why again, God? You think Abraham, man, somebody said at this time, Abraham's, when he offers up his son Isaac, and you can go back and study some things. I'm sure it's pretty close by the age of what he had him. Abraham, Isaac's maybe about 16 years old by then. And that made Abraham about 16 years old. And now God comes and tries him with something else. You think, man, I've been saved so long. Maybe some other stuff would just slow down. Not even slow down. No, God's still working on us to make us what we ought to be. God's trying us. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, what did he do when he tried? When he was tried, offered up Isaac. Here's the trying of Abraham. God tried what he loved, and God was trying him to bring something more glorious out of his life. What did he do? He offered. God tried him. You know what Abraham said? Hey, I offer. God tried him on what he loved. What he loved was Isaac, and he said, hey, you can have him, God. I'll offer him to you. He offered to God what God tried him with. Think about that for a little while. He offered. What does the word offer means? This, to present in worship or devotion. He's presenting Isaac to God in worship. You got him, God. The life of faith is in some ways a sacrifice. A sacrifice. Offering up him. What is an offering? If you're offering something, you're sacrificing it. This Christian life, when it comes to being tried, it'll take some sacrifices. Who's willing to sacrifice? No, we don't like that. Take more away, give more up. God said, I want more, and if you give me more, I'll make more. He offered him. He was tried, so he offered, amen. He offered him up. He said, hey, here he is, God, you can have him. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He offered him to God. Our life's going to be a sacrifice if you're going to be willing to serve God. You know why a lot of Christians are not willing? Because they never want to sacrifice. What's it going to cost me? Yeah, it's going to cost you something. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You can't give enough of anything. From material things to your life and everything in between that God can't do. Many times fold over. Abraham said, God, you can have him. Just think about what he offered. His son whom he loved. Hold your place here in Hebrews 11. Look in Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Kind of mark this place in your Bible. We'll turn back here a couple of times. Genesis 22. Here's the story of what he done. Genesis 22. I don't know what God wants you to offer. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If God wants you to offer it, you have to be willing to give it to him. There wasn't a thing in Abraham's life he loved more than Isaac. And God wanted to make sure he didn't love him more than he loved him. Do you know how much time, how much of his mind, how much of his life was wrapped around in that boy? From the time he left Ur, the Chaldees, God promised him that boy, and that's what was on his mind. I'm going to have this child. God's going to give me this promised seed. And that's what he was on his mind. That was on his heart. And he done everything to try to make it happen with Hagar, and it didn't happen. And he finally got the boy. The time, effort, and the mental stress, and the prayers, and the work just to get him. Finally, he's got him. God lets him have him. Amen. Despite everything he had done, God still promised him with that boy and said, here he is, you can have him. And then 16 years later, God said, hey, I want him back. Most of all his life's been wrapped around that boy. Thinking about him coming, how he's going to get here, when he gets here, what we're going to do, how's God going to bless through him, what's God going to do through him, the promises God gave to him, that consumed his life. And then after he had it, God said, hey, I'd like to have him back. You don't think that'd be devastating? And the Bible said he offered him. Sometimes God will let you offer, and sometimes he just wants to see if you're willing to offer. In the case of Abraham, God didn't let him offer Isaac. God just wanted to know if he's willing to do it. When it comes to the trial of willingness, God might want you to do it, and then he just might want to know if you will do it. That's all he wanted out of Abraham. Sometimes the trying is not just to see if you will, because God really wants it. And then sometimes he just wants to know if you're willing. He didn't let him. Look in Genesis 22, verse 13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God came to him early in verses number 1 and said, hey, I want him. Can I have him? He went to go take him. He went to all the steps, as we'll see in just a moment, to go do what God asked him to do. And in the end, God didn't take him anyhow. He just wanted to know if he could have him. What's he proving to God, and well, maybe even proving to himself, that God's number one in his life? Nothing comes before God. Look back in Hebrews 11. Hold your place in Genesis 22 right there. Mark that. Hold your place in both of them. What is the bottom line? The bottom line is, when it comes to willingness, God wants your heart. Your heart, he's got your life. Proverbs said again in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything's going to flow from your heart. God tried the heart of Abraham and seen if he'd do what God asked him to do. And Abraham came through glorious, tried manifold temptations. He's going to take my only son, that son whom I love. All right, God, if you want him, you can have him. He tried him. You know what I see about this? Look in verse 17 again. Man, there's some great stuff in this verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Then he says, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. God said he tried him, and he offered. And then the Bible says, he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Why did he offer him up? One of the reasons what made it successful in Abraham's life in offering up that son whom he loved through the trial of this test, amen, is because Abraham realized that the son he had, God had given to him. The Bible said he offered him up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up the only begotten, his only begotten son. Abraham had received the promise. He received. You know what he realized? Everything I have come from God. If you're gonna face the trial or the test of willingness, God's gonna try you. Never forget that everything you got that he ever asked you for, he gave it to you anyhow. He said, I received. He that received him offered him up. Abraham did not forget that, hey, God gave me this boy. If God wants anything out of our lives, if we'd be honest, you know what? Anything he's ever asked me for, I received it from him anyhow. That's the mentality that Abraham had. That's the mentality we need to have that, hey, yeah, God, you can have it because I wouldn't have had it in the first place if you wouldn't have given it. He'd have never got Isaac if God wouldn't have gave him Isaac. It was past his strength. He couldn't do it. It was a miraculous work of God. And for that matter of fact, everything we've ever got come from the good hand of God. So if he wants it back, I received it from him anyhow. All I'm doing is returning it back to who it rightly belongs to. He received. You see that? And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Everything we have come from the Lord. It's his anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 19 through 20. We're bought with a price. Amen. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. You tell me one thing you have that God didn't give it to you. And if it is something you can think of that God didn't give it to you, it is no good. The things we got that are no good, we got them on our own. But every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights.
Amen.
It come from him. That's everything. So you know what he said when God asked him of him? Hey, I received him from you. What the promises that I received. Not only the promise of the seed, but the promises of what God was going to do through the seed. He had his faith in God. God tried him. God did not try Abraham to do wrong. God will not try us to do wrong. God will try us to bring forth fruit and glory and honor and praise out of his life. God never, ever tried you with sin. Never will. But look at this. Now, I want you to see this. Look, hold your place, Hebrews 11. Look back to Genesis 22. We got to cover this point. We'll go on this trying. He's tried. He tried him. He said, everything I received is yours anyhow. God, if you want it back, you can have it. I mean, what is it God wants from you? Something he gave, you wouldn't have had if he wouldn't have given it anyhow. Right? Genesis 22, look in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. The Bible said that after these things, God came to Abraham and tempted him. Tempt Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham when he was tried. God tried or tempted Abraham. Is God tempting Abraham to do wrong? Is God trying Abraham with some sin? We get to cover this before we go any further. Look in James chapter number 1. God never tempts you to sin. Well, God put that before me and see what I'd do with it. Well, God don't try you with sin. The devil might tempt you with sin, and he will. Amen. Your flesh tempts you. The world will tempt you. God never tempts you with sin. God didn't tempt Abraham to do wrong. He didn't try him to do evil. This is not a temptation to sin. James chapter number 1, look in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord had promised to him that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Someone said, there you use your LSD. Lust, sin, death. Do not err, my beloved brother. God didn't tempt him to sin. God tried Abraham to bring forth glory and honor to him. Back in Hebrews 11. So here's the test of willingness. We see his trying. Trying of Abraham, I see the believing of Abraham. Verse 18. Abraham believed. Of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Of whom it is said. Who said that? Who said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called? That's the word of God. That's what God said to Abraham. What did Abraham do? Abraham was tried. I see the trying of Abraham, but I see the believing of Abraham. Hey, God will try you when it comes to wilderness, but you better have some believing in God. If you go past the test of willingness, when God tries you with things, you're going to have some belief in God. He believed when he received what he received back in verse number 17, but he believed what God had said, of whom it is said. No matter what you face in your life when it comes to the test of willingness, and this is in regard we're preaching on tonight, no matter what you face when it comes to willingness, never stop believing God's word. God said, hey, I want your boy. Abraham believed God. Through faith, he trusted God. He said in verse number 18, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God said, in that boy, there's going to be an heir. In that boy, God's going to make a promise through him. You know what Abraham's saying right there? My faith, he trusted God. When God said, go tape him out, Abraham knew if I had to kill him, God had to get him up. Amen. He knew that. Through the trial of willingness or the test of willingness, amen, Abraham never stopped believing God. Hey, I don't care what you get faced with, whatever put you against the wall, never throw up your hands and stop believing God's word. God's word will always be true. Even when it don't look like it's going to be true. When God said, thy son, not only son, I love us, offer him up. That don't look good, man, in the physical eyes. The flesh is weak. The spirit indeed is willing, amen. The flesh says, hey, no, this is my boy. I can't do this. No, God, you've asked for too much. You know what kept him through the test of willingness? It's not only when he was tried and God did try him, never stop believing God. You know why a lot of Christians fail when it comes to the test of willingness? They stop short of believing everything God said. Why would a man throw up his hand and say, no, enough's enough. I can't take no more. Forget it. I'm not going to go anymore. I'm not going to do it any longer. Jeremiah said, I ain't going to mention his name anymore. Something burning down in his soul wouldn't let him quit. What's burning down in his soul? What's on fire down in his bosom? The words of God. Never stop believing God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he talked about the Thessalonian believers. They received the word, not as it was the words of men, but as it is in truth, the words of God, which effectually worketh in you that believe. Hey, never stop believing. This is God's book. This is God's word. Hell or high water, it doesn't matter what I face. God's word's going to be true. He believed what God said. Look in Genesis 22. He believed what God said. That's how he was able to pass the test of willingness. God's going to be true. Amen. Verse 2. Here's God's test when he came to him. The tip, the Genesis writer said. And he said, verse 2, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. God knew he loved him. And get thee into the land of Moriah. Did you imagine being Abraham there? God said, hey, Abraham, take thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest. You imagine what's going on in his mind? Okay, where are we going? Just for a brief moment, maybe. Abraham, I want to ask you to do something for me. This is God speaking to you. Take your son whom you love, that boy that I give you. You know, here's his mindset going, man, this is going to be good. And then he hears the word offering. for a brief moment, God's calling him to go do something, and then he says this. Just for a little while, it sounds real good. Take thy son whom thou lovest into a land of Moriah. Okay, where are we going with him? That's what you want us to go? We'll go. Okay, I'm not done, Abraham. Hold on. All and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. He said, Abraham, take your boy and go to Mount Moriah, offer your son, and I'm going to tell you which mountain to go to. A couple of things in there we could spend a lot of time in, but one of the things is God gave him just enough light to walk in that he could handle, and then he'd give him more later. He didn't tell him the specific spot where to go. He just said, go up to Mount Moriah, and I'm going to show you where to do it. Go take him into that mountain and offer him up. We'll work out the details. What's he going to do? This is his test. He passed the test of worldliness. He's out of the world. He left Ur of the Chaldees. You know, I'm not down with that crowd anymore. Some of you have passed the test of worldliness. Some of you are still struggling in the test of worldliness. You're not all the way in or out. You still got some world. He passed the test of weakness. He's breaking down, frail, can't go so much. I'm weak. But he realized God's strong. Now God says, okay, you came out of the world. You've overcome some weakness. Let's see how willing you are. What's he going to do? Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. What's he doing rising up real early for? Why didn't he just wait? Well, God's business requires haste. Let's go get it done. Maybe it's because it requires haste. Oh, maybe you can maybe say, oh, he couldn't sleep good. So why not get up early? And saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clayed the wood for the burnt offering. Isaac being a type of Christ, there's the cross, there's the wood. And rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. He got up and went. Then on the third day, 3 days, something to do with that other son that got offered, right? Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. 3 days later, he saw where it was. There's where God wants me to go. And he turned. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass. You stay behind. This business is just for me and my boy. But he said this, and this is what I'm telling you. When it comes to the trial of willingness, he not only was tried, he was tried, but he believed God. Amen. He looked at them boys and said, you stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worship. Offering. Worship. And come again to you. Me and the lad's going there to do what God asked her to do. We'll be back in just a little while. Where's Abraham going to do? He's going to kill his boy. But you know what Abraham knew? God done promised through that boy, this is going to be the seed. He didn't say Ishmael. He didn't say I was going to have another. He said that boy, that promised seed was going to be the one, not the ones I had after him, not the other ones I got right now. It was going to be him. So I'm going up there believing God. I'm going to kill him, and God's going to have to get him up. That's faith in God, amen. That's believing beyond his power. He might kill him, and he could, but he couldn't get him up. It's going to take God. He was willing. He believed God, amen. In verse 6, and Abraham took the wood, the cross, if you will, and the burnt offering, there's hell, and laid upon his son and took the knife, the fire in his hand, and the knife, and they went both of them together. What's Abraham doing? He's obeying God's word. He's going right at what God said. And the whole time he's believing God. Listen, child of God, I know that's a simple statement, but you're going to be tried with the test of willingness, and no matter how hard it gets, you got a book you can go back to, and that thing's going to be true, and that God's going to be solid, and he's going to have your answer, and he's going to be able to lift you through. He's going to be able to take you on, never deter to get to the Word of God. Let it, just believe it and trust it, and let God do what he said he would do. Everything else might fail around us. Everything else might break down. But that book is sure and steadfast. It's an anchor to the soul. And it's going to take you through the trial of weakness. willingness. Believe it. He believed God. Look back in Hebrews 11. In his test of willingness, he was tried. We see his trying, verse 17. I see his believing in verse 18. And in verse 19, I see his accounting. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. From whence also he received him in a figure. He received him in a figure. He accounted that. When I think about the word account, you know what I think about? Counting something. Some people are accountants. He accounted. What do you count? He accounted that he can count on God. Amen. He didn't count that thing up. It balances out. Amen. God's going to be true. He accounted it. Abraham had learned in the birth of his son that God gave life to the dead. His wife was dead, the Bible said, as far as having children. He was dead as far as having children. And he learned through that trial that God was able to give life to death. And if God gave life to death at the time of his birth, God can give life to death if he kills him. He doesn't put him through the test. You know, we can look back on, we can account. We can put it on the account book, and I can look back and say, God, you done it back then. You took care of that. You picked me up out of that. You lift me up out of this. You helped me through this. I'm just going to trust you to do it again. I can account that God's going to be faithful, amen. He always comes out positive and never negative. God never leaves me in the red. He always leaves me in the green. He always leaves me better off, amen. I can account on God to come through. And that's what he did. He accounted. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He learned through the birth of his son that God gave life to death, and God could give life to death again. Let me read you this verse. Romans chapter 4. You turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. He learned. Have you learned things about God that he's been faithful? Count it up. I mean, put him, count it up and see what he does. You can't outdo him. You can't outgive him. You can't willingly give him so much that he can't take care of. Romans chapter 4 verse 19 says this. You turn into Genesis 22, right? And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body. Now, here's what the Roman writer said, Paul. Now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He learned that God through death could bring forth life. And he said, you know what? He gave me this child when we were both dead. And if I kill him, the same God that gave life before is going to give life again. You and I can look back at some things God's brought us through and we can account it up and say, hey, he done it then. Why can't he do it again? When it comes to the test of willingness, you tried. I'm going to be tried. Amen. We just got to believe God. And account on him. Genesis 22. Count on him. You know what God does? Genesis 22, he comes through. Just like he said. Abraham believed he would. Amen. Genesis 22, verse 7. Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He knew what they were going to do. When he heard him, when he told them boys, you stay here, me and the lad's going to offer sacrifice, and we'll come back again to you. As they got to going, Isaac said, hey, father, Abraham, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the burnt offering? Verse 8, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide, this King James Bible is good, himself a lamb. God's going to provide himself a lamb. You know what God did 2,000 years ago? He provided himself a lamb. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world, he provided himself." Amen. "For a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God." A man is what he fears and loves. "Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." What did Abraham end up offering? A ram. You know what a ram is? It's a male lamb. You know who died on the cross for me and you? God himself. God provided himself. His son was himself. Just as the ram that took the place of the lamb, God himself died in the stead for the sinner. He was willing. Now, if God was willing to give his best for us, why are we not willing to give our best to him? The Bible said in Genesis, Hebrews chapter number 11, that he received him in a figure. John 8:56 says, Jesus speaking to that crowd, he said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and was glad. Abraham saw the day of the Lord. He said he saw my day and was glad. What did he see? The Bible said in Hebrews 11, he received him in a figure. What figure did he see? You know what he saw? He saw God getting his son up. That's what he saw. He didn't see Jesus. He saw his son getting up. He received him in a figure, amen. He saw his son getting up, and seeing his son getting up is seeing the resurrection of our Lord. Just as the son was going to get up in the future, Abraham saw his son get up. He saw the resurrection of his dead son, amen. Thank God the dead son got up. Thank God Jesus Christ got up. He got up in our stead, amen. He was willing. He was willing. Are we willing? Who's willing? God's going to try you. You got to keep your belief. And you got to keep counting on him. He's going to come through. Believe God and accounted God to do it, and God got him up. He saw Christ's day in the sense that he saw the resurrection of his dead son. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. He saw him.